Hello and welcome to Runway Girl Network In Conversation, a deep dive into aviation and the passenger experience. I'm RGN Deputy Editor John Walton, and here at the Aircraft Interiors Expo in Hamburg, I'm in conversation with editor and publisher Mary Kirby. Mary and I are debriefing after the show, talking seats, connectivity, in-flight entertainment and more. But first, thanks to our sponsor. In Conversation is brought to you by Bolteron, a Simona company, purveyor of high-performance thermoplastics for tomorrow's aircraft interiors. With new and groundbreaking innovations in design capabilities, Bolteron offers airlines the ability to customize the cabin with lightweight materials, with metallic effects, translucent decorative panels with unique embedded patterns, dynamic textures, vibrant pearlescence, and more. Learn more at boltaron.com. So, Mary, welcome. We are literally just out of the Aircraft Interiors Expo. What a busy show this year.
It was off the hook, John. Gosh, I have to say, I'm still sweating a little bit. We were running around like crazy.
We really were, and so were the airlines.
Yes.
I saw a lot of airlines there, and what I found really interesting this year, airlines are bringing more and more junior people.
Yeah.
It's not just the vice president of cabin this or the senior vice president of services that. It's the people who are really at the coalface of creating the next generation of passenger experience.
You're absolutely right. When I was at the Bombardier stand, I noticed that Delta's contingent in particular had a lot of younger people, which is wonderful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. There were some airlines in my hotel, and I may have earwigged on a couple of little conversations.
Never, John.
And no, it was really fascinating.
Good.
There was a lot of really, really good thought being put into how we're creating this next generation of passenger experience.
Absolutely.
I think that the headline for me, and I'll see what you think, is these new next generation thin lines, which are finally being ordered by airlines. We're seeing what they're going to look like and everything.
Yes, I am in agreement with you here, John. I'm rather stunned, in fact, by some of these slim lines. what they've managed to do in terms of carving out space for the knees and shins.
I am touched by how little I am touched at the knee and shin, indeed. The big news, obviously, this show is Jevon.
Of course.
Italian seat maker based in Naples, new seat called the Asenza. And the trick with Asenza is that they've moved the rear of the two horizontal support bars forwards, which means they've increased the amount of knee space they can give you, they've increased the amount of shin clearance they can give you.
Yep.
We sat in that last year. We got that picture of me holding up that tape measure. Your knees are about 4 meters away from the front of the seat.
It's wild.
Absolutely amazing. And they've got a huge order, 110 A320neos from Wizz Air, the European low-cost carrier, Lufthansa Group's premium hub airline, so that's Lufthansa Swiss and Austrian for 50. And how many was it for Interjet today? Another bunch of Airbus.
I know, it was amazing. Jevon really took the show in terms of headlines, and bravo to them.
Yeah.
And I am in full agreement with you on this seat, having sat in it now a few times, and also sat in it over at the ATR stand.
Yeah.
Because ATR turboprops, they feature that as their main seat.
Well, both of their main seats. They have a normal and a prestige level seat.
Yes.
I was talking with Susanna Hernkova today, and they've done some really interesting things with that as well.
It's the most popular one for them. Now, they also offer the Expla seat, but Jevon is on the march.
Absolutely. So bravo, Jevon.
Bravo.
What else have we seen in the slimline news? Recaro launched the BL3710, which is their basic replacement for what Lufthansa is currently flying.
Okay.
It's that little bit sort of mid-range in terms of features for your short to medium range in terms of distance aircraft. Right. Had a good sit in it. They took us out in when was it? About 4 weeks ago, or possibly Sunday evening? Monday evening, in fact. Actually, it's a really great little seat. It's not quite as slimline as the previous generations. They've done a lot of engineering on it.
Are there some comfort attributes of this job?
There really are.
Okay.
You know, look, I mean, I think Recaro has come in for a lot of slack from the lack of cushioning on their previous generation seats.
Hands up, I have had my difficulties with former Recaro slimlines.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Well, I think that it's one of those seats, it felt to me, and I'm not sure whether, were your issues on the Alaska Airlines sort of implementation
of it?
Correct. Yeah.
Yes.
There was something about that, whether it's the way that because there's no cushioning, it's just a sort of netting underneath which serves as a support feature. I think there's something about the way that translates to the 737 cross-section with those narrower seats.
Yes.
That really changes the experience.
Yeah.
You'll be pleased to know that the 3710 offers another one of these pull-off seat cushion / structure things.
Jevon does that as well.
Yeah, this is a real trend that we're seeing.
Yep.
And again, you've got the rear horizontal bar push forwards.
Yes.
The
trade-off of that, of course, is that they have to change the way that the structure of the rest of the seat works for the increasingly difficult certification issues.
Right.
We have Nidge to join HIC.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, one does not want to break one's neck.
Yes. Nidge, of course, being the neck injury criterion, part of the head injury criterion. It's semi-official for new seats which have to hit 16G and all of the twist and turn, shake, rattle, and roll.
One can understand, however, with this new generation of slimlines, why it's important to really focus on that. Because
Agreed.
You can see, you know, they've narrowed it down so thin, you really want that assurance that, you know.
Yes, exactly. We also saw, again, the Rockwell Aspire.
Mm.
This is the Rockwell Collins Aspire seat. It's for the A350-777X. This is another one where you sit in it at 30 inches and you think this has got to be pitched at 33 because my knees are so far away from the...
This one wowed me last year. They teased it last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this year it was more fully on display. But this will be on United, right?
Yeah. A whole bunch of different airlines.
Yeah.
Rockwell Collins is, of course, a little shtum about its customer announcements. Obviously, they want their customers to make those announcements, which is fair enough.
Yeah.
But again, this is one of the amazing new generations of fully featured economy seats, learning from this generation of slimlines.
Rockwell really has been hitting it out of the park, to be honest with you.
Two
on
Crystal
premium
Cabin Awards.
And on
yeah.
Yes, there yeah. two Crystal Cabin Awards, which was remarkable. But also, and I fly Southwest Airlines all the time out of BWI, you know, their implementation on Southwest.
That Meridian seat is wonderful.
Is really a wonderful seat.
It's great.
I mean, it's if you're going to buy a 737 and pack it out, Meridian is a great way to go.
Yeah. Now, we've got to remember, of course, that if you're flying the Southwest 737-800, that's still pitched at 32 inches.
I know.
So that's that. Look. 32 inches at anything.
Thank you, Southwest.
Is a good 3 inches more than I
There's
enjoyed.
There's a reason why I fly Southwest. That extra inch really makes a difference.
It does. It really does. And if you can count on the aircraft type maintaining the same, like with so many of these.
Yeah.
This exactly is the reason why I'm so excited about Jevon from a personal point of view.
Mm-hmm.
Living in France, I fly a lot of these Lufthansa Group airlines around Europe, connecting through one of their various hubs. I am so delighted that I'm going to be able to do that without my knee having to stick out into the aisle.
So now, your knees are important, John.
Mm-hmm.
Your living space is still feeling a little bit more confined. Yeah. As much as I love Jevon, the seat back in front of you will be closer to your face.
Well, it will be exactly as close as the current seats on Lufthansa.
You're joking.
No. They're pitching the business class at 32 inches.
Ah.
They're pitching further back at 31 to 30,
okay.
And down the back, 29.
They're not going below 29,
Paul Estoppi told me.
Okay.
Paul Estoppi, who's the sort of, I can't remember what his exact title is, but he's the person who was the Lufthansa person.
He's
Lufthansa.
Assured you.
He's assured me.
Okay, well, thank goodness for
when
that.
When a Swiss person assures me, I believe them. But look, here's the thing. These rows are already dire.
Uh-huh. No window.
No window.
No overhead.
You're at 29 inches.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be in that sort of situation, I'd rather be in that sort of seat, in that sort of pitch, in a new seat. And we also saw Mirrus. You couldn't miss Mirrus. And not only that, but they had that wonderful, striking selection of design house designed seats.
Yes, I was really impressed by their Ultra Leatherwell and the, what's the other one? Ultra Suede.
Yeah.
Neither of them are leather or suede, but you would never know.
No. You absolutely wouldn't. And what they're doing with our works design house internally is really interesting. Obviously, they're aiming at the airline, which doesn't have a huge amount of internal design capacity.
Right.
But they can, you know, go through and demonstrating as part of their thing. They'll make you a mood board. They'll turn you a seat out of that mood board. That's a really compelling proposition for a lot of small
and it looks
space.
Really snazzy. They're doing a beautiful job.
Those seats look really hot.
They are.
And
they're hot.
You had laser etched leather on
it
some of those
like
seats.
You know, sports car sort of design.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Cut on the bias for that one that looked the Nordic look one.
That was
really great. I really liked that.
And of course the mirror seat has now debuted on here.
It has.
At 28-inch seat pitch, which now to be fair, mirrors at 29-inch pitch. I am fine with. Mm-hmm. At 28, it starts to get a bit tight.
Yep. Don't forget, though, AirAsia offer all the significant amount of extra legroom for basically $10.
Yes. Spend a little bit more and you'll just get that extra inch and it makes all the difference. Having set in the 28 and 29-inch configurations today, that inch on Mirrus is huge.
And look, if you get a couple more inches than that on the hot seats... Go for it.
Yeah.
Go for it. And this is a real challenge to those legacy airlines, isn't it, Mary?
It really
you know,
is.
The fact that if you're on AirAsia and you pay $10 more on your fare, you can get more legroom than you can on a legacy carrier.
Yep.
That's a real challenge. It's a real challenge.
Of course, our listeners are well aware, but if it's not clear, Every inch does count.
It does.
And every half inch counts as well.
Yes. Speaking of half an inches, you were on pitch.
Yes, I was on pitch. You know, one of the things about pitch that I find interesting was about, oh gosh, maybe 4 years ago, maybe five, when they started coming on the scene, they had a seat, and they actually still do have this seat and an evolved version of it, where to sit in it, you had to do kind of a man spread, where mm-hmm. your left leg would be in one slot, mm-hmm. your right leg yeah. would be in another. And
little bit of Annie Oakley there.
It was a little bit much. Now that I fly in leggings everywhere I go, for mm-hmm. comfort, of course, it's less of an issue. Mm-hmm. But back in those days, I was still in the yeah. skirt wearing, heel wearing at the airport mm-hmm. phase.
Yeah.
And that was difficult. It's a little bit better now. Their latest evolution is impressive, and they have carved out a lot of space. I'd yeah. put them alongside Miris in that regard.
Yeah. I sat in that last year.
Yeah.
They've done a good job on that. They've done some really innovative things on the seat back as well.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly one to watch.
Yes, absolutely. For sure. Gary Joy.
Yeah. And now it's back! The Skyrider!
Oh, my word.
Speaking of the Annie Oakley Cowboy experience.
Speaking of roller coaster experience.
Yeah, the Avio Interior Skyrider is back. That is known as the saddle seat, and it is by and away, far and away, the most discussion about any seat at this.
Which is a bit naughty of Avio Interiors, because I think to myself, PR stunt geniuses trying to destroy the passenger experience.
Well, okay, so look, it's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to sit in it. You wouldn't want to sit in it.
Uncomfortable doesn't describe the Skyrider.
You have to squat. Now, here's the thing, though. We are in an age now, what is it, how many years since it first appeared?
It's been five at least.
Yeah. 28 inches is a normal thing. I will bet you cash money we'll see 27 inches displayed next year. This thing is at 23.
I know. It's, every inch counts.
It does.
23 is, it's a rather tight experience.
Yeah.
My knees were crushed
into
the seat in front of me, even though you're on a slope. It's a saddle seat, folks. It's a saddle. It's as if like you're riding a bike.
It's, you know what it reminds me of? There are seats on Italian trains that are like that. They're the ones near the entrance, which when a wheelchair user needs to use them, the wheelchair wheel's in. When the wheelchair user is not there, people can use it as a perch.
I call it a butt shelf. It's a butt shelf, folks. It's for a subset. The idea is that it would be on a subset of the aircraft, that it wouldn't be the entire, obviously, configuration. Mm-hmm. But it also would require a bit of a reimagining of the cabin to get the poles in. Yeah. Yes, there are poles, dear reader.
Yes.
Or dear listener.
Yes, they are attached to the ceiling and the floor. Look, their pitch on this, and I'm not sure... I'm still not sure whether I fully agree with this pitch on it, but the idea is essentially that this is for the developing world market, where people would be able to fly for the first time at the pricing that this would enable.
I did see their statement, and that is included in their statement. Yes,
yeah.
It's to open up brand new markets at a price point.
If you're in, say, Indonesia or Malaysia, flying inter-island for the first time, and that now means you can access a hospital or some form of family member who is moved away for work.
Can we talk about the difference in human size, though, in some of these regions?
Average really femur length is in some places shorter than others.
Let's just, I mean, AirAsia, for example, going 28 inches on the mirror seat that we were just talking about, the population is still more, a little bit more petite than the average American.
Yes, or European.
Right.
I mean, you know, KLM will probably not be selecting this, given that the Dutch are on average the highest in Europe. Yeah, it is an interesting and thought-provoking question.
There's lots of questions, John.
Lots of questions, including, will it provoke thought among legislators and certification authorities as to actually fix a flaw to pitch and passenger experience?
Yes, it will provoke a lot. And I have to say, I shared some of these images on my Facebook page, and a lot of just regular people, men and women, chimed in with their comments.
What did Vladimir and Tatiana have to say?
They were overwhelmingly negative about the Skyrider, because there is this fear that we're on some sort of slippery slope, and that if we let it drop down below 28-inch pitch, which, by the way, 28 is the baseline in the UK, but no other country, to my knowledge, has actually set a baseline. So if you're in China, if you're a Spring Airlines, you could theoretically bring the Skyrider in flight.
It's my understanding, and I'm basing this on some data that we had at Route Happy when I used to be director of data there. It was something like a small propeller plane, like a single propeller plane, you know, the Martha's Vineyard shuttle.
Yes.
It was officially a 27-inch pitch.
Okay.
But that was the lowest thing. 28 is the lowest that any real...
Any airline
with a grown-up plane had. So that's economy. Yes. I mean, look, it's where most of us fly most of the time.
Yeah.
I, Mary, have rolled on backwards.
Surely with my rolling luggage. Join the rest of us in the back of the bus, John.
You know, I've always been there at least 50% of the time. But no, this year, because I've been shuttling around Europe so much, I've been in there a lot. The business class proposition here just doesn't make sense.
No, I know. Eurobiz just is a head scratcher.
Yeah. But there is some stuff in business class this year. There's a lot of interesting things.
Yes, there are.
As Beyonce said, if you liked it, then you should have put a door on it. And yes, after the win by Thompson with their Vantage XL Plus as the Delta One suite last year at Crystal Cabins, even more people have brought seats with doors this year.
I noticed.
So the very first thing I saw, Zodiac has the Cirrus option with a door.
Mm.
And Sky Lounge, which is that staggered seat they have on Emirates A380s and ANA's 777s, 787s. The Skylounge one is very interesting because it's not just door as such, it's a fabric screen that comes across, which reminds me a little bit of that original Singapore Airlines A380 with the fabric and the in the doors of the original suite.
Okay.
Which was, of course, only 11 years ago now that went into service. So how far we have come from first class to business class.
Ooh, I got to see Q-Suite with the door for the very first time.
Oh, your first time in the big queue.
I had the pleasure of being a judge for the Crystal Cabin Awards, which is known as the Oscars of the aircraft interiors industry. And, of course, Q-Suite did awfully well at the Crystal Cabin Awards.
Yeah.
But that door is essential there as well.
It is.
I love that privacy.
It is truly remarkable. I mean, I think that a lot of us were very sceptical when we saw it. My scepticism was dimmed.
Mm.
I was very impressed at the Paris Air Show last year when I first got on board.
Yeah.
And when Qatar Airways had me on that trip to open their Chiang Mai route,
I flew
out to it on Paris, I was truly stunned.
I believe you truly ranked stunned. It as the number one business class seat of 2018, John.
Exactly. And look, my top business class seat is 2018, and that and the Thompson Vantage XL Plus with a door.
Yeah.
The door is important. The door gives you privacy if you want it. It means that you're less served by light and noise and everything else.
Yes.
It's the door is the way forward, and that may be why we have seen so many people with doors. You've got them, you've got, you know, Recaro have a door option on the CL6710, which is the Alal seat,
mm-hmm.
And which will also be taken on a number of other airlines. They've announced that TAP, I believe, is taking the base seat on the 330neo.
I spoke to TAP today, mm-hmm. had a lovely interview at TAP Air Portugal. Excited about that neo coming.
Yeah, that'll really open up some options for them.
Yes,
that's going to be really,
they're going to wow passengers with a spectacular LED lighting scheme. So watch the space.
Yeah. I mean, look, the lighting thing is so interesting.
It is.
There's a lot of stuff around integrated illuminated panelling.
Oh, yes. Rockwell had a lot of that.
Yeah, that was amazing. Mm-hmm. Rockwell Collins has this lighting room, which is simply amazing. But I was also, I also saw a number of other companies doing the same sort of, not the same sort of idea, but really looking at how you can use the fact that we have all these panels of thermoplastics that with LEDs, micro LEDs and nano LEDs, we can illuminate from within.
It's amazing.
Imagine if there was a soft glow coming from the overhead bins to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Rather mm-hmm. than, you know, even rather than the directional downlights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's going to be full aircraft. Right? They're not just going to install that in business class. They may install it in business class to start off with. But that will make it all the way down the back. Imagine the space and weight they can save if your reading light no longer has to be in the overhead.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. I'm also impressed with some of the projector technology that's happening in conjunction with the LED lighting. And
Absolutely.
BL Aviation showed some really interesting
entryways,
which I thought really kind of will calm you down. Yeah. If you've had a harried experience at the airport, you come aboard, and it's this kind of gentle projection.
That sort of a little bit of movement.
It is.
Because apparently too much movement raises your stress levels.
Yes.
I'm
just
told.
A tad bit of movement.
But no, it's really great. And of course, Deal Aviation is a new name for Deal.
Correct.
Congratulations to them on their revamp.
I don't think many people realize, well, perhaps our listeners may not, but Deal actually is a nose-to-tail provider.
Yep.
I mean, they're up in the cockpit as well.
And actually, that sort of nose to tail integrated is becoming much more common in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see it with the UTC Rockwell Collins side of things. You see it with Safran.
Mm-hmm. And Zodiac.
Which now has Zodiac. There are so many of these larger companies who are now able to provide things that really only the OEMs were able to provide before.
Right.
And I think that you see the reaction to that in the fact that the Airbus stand was 50% services.
Hmm.
And yeah, you know, Airbus is itself refurbishing both the A380s that are going back to be recabined, but the Singapore Airlines and Qantas A380s.
Okay, very good, very good.
Now, of course, Diehl has a lot of that market itself, right? It's not just Airbus, but it's Airbus leading that services, that kind of MRO.
Yes, it is. It's always fascinating, actually, to see Airbus and Diehl. They're kind of frenemies is not the right word, but they do get out.
But it kind of is.
You know, they do get out a bit, don't they?
You remember last time at Apex? Well, it was the Aircraft Interiors Americas in Long Beach, back in September, when Diehl and Lufthansa Systems had that sort of replacement space flex for a refit.
Mm.
And that was a real,
yes, it was.
Put them up.
It's really a Galilab combo. Really
exactly.
Interesting. Yes. Interesting that tension between the two.
While we're talking Galilabs,
yes,
one of my favourite things this year is the Rockwell Collins solution for turning the door areas into multifunctional spaces.
Oh.
They have these amazing, they call it Butterfly, not to be confused with Airbus's Butterfly.
But is this similar to what Diehl is doing?
A little bit, but not entirely.
Okay.
So Rockwell's is massive. So you basically have these either preset or post-takeoff loaded closets, which swing out to provide rest for the crew. These two doors swing out, close in the middle of your doors, 1, 2, 3, or 4, whichever one's on your wide body. There's a private area for the crew behind, if the crew needs to rest or they just want to sit down there with a magazine, you know, on their downtime when it's not, they didn't need to be serving or anything.
Hmm.
Full passenger self-service makes it into a sort of third space within the cabin. Really interesting stuff. Really interesting stuff going on there.
Guess who else is doing a Galilab combo, though?
Everyone.
Bombardier C-Series. It's a coming.
Yeah.
It's a coming.
Yeah.
But Bombardier insists that it will not allow, or it's not even possible, for this Galilab combo to devolve the passenger experience in those last two rows.
Yeah.
They are assuring that you, as a passenger, will still have a window. It will still be the same type of experience as, mm-hmm. you know, middle of the plane.
Yeah.
So, here's hoping.
Yep. I also saw a really interesting presentation on what Bombardier is doing to make the CRJ a little more interesting inside.
Yes, PRM accessible lab.
Yep, the atmosphere cabin, or in French, atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
There's an accent.
It's beautiful, actually.
Look, it looks really great. Look, I have flown on my fair share of CRJs this last year living in France. It is a regular visitor to my home airport of Lyon. And yeah, I can't fit my rolling carry-on bag in those overheads.
Yeah.
And in Bombardier's new one, I can.
Yep.
Game changer.
It
absolutely
is.
Game changer.
It really is.
I mean, when I was flying here, the outsourced ground agents at Lyon had not made any announcements about the fact that it was planned as a CRJ. They didn't make anything about the fact that small overhead bins, leaving the poor Lufthansa flight attendant to bellow out of the door at people lining up on the ground to gate check their thing.
Ridiculous.
I mean, look, because it was Lufthansa flight attendant, she bellowed in three separate languages.
But it doesn't have to be this way, John.
But you do not have to do that bellowing.
No,
right? And
it doesn't
look,
have
and,
to
and
be
the nice
way.
Thing is that the Bombardier is doing the work to make those bins bigger, which would be great for all the airlines that are flying CRJs. I mean, we've seen United taking up more of those old 50-seaters.
And it's remarkable. I mean, this is not your grandmother or your mother's CRJ. This is a whole brand new experience when you walk into that cabin. You'd hardly know that you're in a little tiny regional jet.
Puddle jumper.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's halls 5, 6, and 7 of this show.
You really covered a lot, John.
1, 2, and 3 were the connectivity side of things.
Yes, and entertainment. It was fascinating. Mm. It comes as no surprise that the in-flight connectivity industry is hotly competitive, John. Hotly.
Yeah.
To the point that some claws perhaps may be coming out a little bit.
Yes, indeed. And some of those legal claws
are coming out as well. Yes, indeed. So, of course, right in advance of the show, there was a rather significant announcement when Eutelsat said that it was not going to invest in the Viasat 3 satellite that would have served Europe and the Middle East, and that it was going to go in its own direction for Europe with a satellite built by Thales.
It's not you, it's me.
It was quite interesting and very, shall we say, a lot of people were talking about it on the show floor.
Yes. A buzz.
It was a buzz. It was buzzy. Yeah. And there's lots of questions now as to what is the plan. Viasat assures that everything remains in play. Mm-hmm. It is going to push forward without Eutelsat as a partner on this satellite. Mm-hmm. And it assures that it has the orbital slots. But needless to say, some of the competitors were questioning all of this. It was had a fabulous conversation with Viasat's Don Bushman. Mm-hmm. It's on the premium side of our site if any of our listeners would like to
Available
hear it.
Available on runwaylearnnetwork.com.
Yes, and it's good stuff. And Don
it's
really,
a really interesting read. Yeah,
yeah, Don really breaks it down.
Yeah, all credit to them. They're being very open about this.
They're being very open to them.
And, you know, in some ways, maybe they have additional capacity to now offer to other customers.
Yeah. Lemon meat lemonade.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Now let's get information.
Yes.
So what else is going on in the IFEC world? Mm. I had a great visit with Zodiac Rave.
They
have some stunning hardware that they're looking at.
Okay, so now it's interesting. Oh. It's interesting. Zodiac Rave has enjoyed the number 3 position. Let's just say it now. Panasonic Avionics is the often called the elephant in the room in embedded IFE. Yeah. They have a dominant position in IFE with a 70% market share, which is remarkable. Yeah. Thales has traditionally been number 2, but Rave has been on the march.
Yeah.
And are they edging out Thales these days?
I haven't done the number of screens, number of aircraft maps in my spreadsheet, but it would be interesting to see who has that data.
Yes.
Look, so Rave was very interesting. Thales, of course, did a very interesting split of their IFE product line.
Yes.
Their previous product line was Avant, and the thing about Avant was that it was available for pretty much any aircraft, any airline. The idea was that this was something that anyone could use, anyone could take.
Mm-hmm.
They're now splitting it back into 3. So Core is a subset of Avant, which is for your airline who does not want to invest the time, resources, and experience in...
It's cheap and cheerful.
It is. You can choose your colours, you can choose from a range of fonts. It's
easy.
Imagine you're building a website and you want to use Squarespace.
Yes.
Or a similar, sort of do-it-yourself website building.
GoDaddy.
Quite. This is the sort of airline that will be approaching them for Core.
Right.
It's cheap, it's cheerful,
yes.
It'll work, it does pretty much the same things that Avant does, except you can't customise it in the same way.
And it looks good, and the screens are
very attractive.
Gorgeous.
Very attractive.
Yes.
Now, the other end is Prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And the Thales spokesperson confirmed to me that Emirates, which in Singapore 18 months ago signed for Thales for its
777s. That makes sense.
We'll be taking the Prestige flavour.
That makes sense.
And indeed a lot of the mock-ups were for somewhere to Dubai that we saw. My favourite bit about that whole Thales presentation was that they have QR codes up there so that you can link your telephone in with the IFE.
Yes. Well, companion apps are a thing.
Yes.
Of course, Singapore Airlines rolled it out a little while ago with Panasonic. Yeah.
But my actual favourite part of it, if you scanned the mock-up, it brought you to that Trololo video. It was the funniest thing because I scanned it and it started playing on YouTube during the presentation, and
I
fell over laughing. It's that sort of whimsy in this industry that I really love.
Impressive.
I really love it.
Impressive. Thales' stand was quite impressive. It's a very kind of immersive experience,
yeah.
And it's a wow factor.
Yeah.
And as a journalist, you sit there and they break it down in a way that's so simple and easy to understand.
Yeah.
Because here they are saying, okay, look, we've got 3 systems.
Mm-hmm.
They're all based on the Avant.
Yep.
Which is kind of the mid-range.
Except Prestige does get extra backbone to take advantage of that 777X.
It gets extra backbone, but at the end of the day, Avant is effectively Core. But not to confuse people, because Core is the lower level.
So that's Thales. That's your number 2 market share at present.
Yes.
And Rave has some really interesting stuff going on. They have some new screens, which made my jaw drop to the floor.
Okay. good.
These things look like they're made by someone like Apple. Mm. They're that level of industrial design gorgeous.
Yeah.
1080p or 4K, your choice.
But you know, and John, you brought it up in a number of press conferences this week. You can have all these gorgeous screens in the world, but if you don't have the content, what you gonna do?
It's funny you should say that, Mary, because Rave had the answer for that one as well.
Go on.
One of the problems with having these large content libraries at high definition is both space and getting the content on and off the plane. Right, that sneaker net problem of how do I put this SD card in, and I need 50 SD cards because I've got so much high definition content.
Mm-hmm.
They have this cloud concept where essentially every seat on the plane has a fairly large storage capacity.
Mm-hmm.
The cloud concept is that each of those seats is part of a library of content. You're in 21B, you want to watch, look, Wonder Woman will be on every seat. Right, but if you want to watch, I'm sure you're very excited about Dremeling 101 from This Old House, or some other sort of more niche content.
They can get it to you fast.
And the thing is, they'll get it to you because it's actually stored over on seat 12C,
mm-hmm.
whereas, you know, other box sets are on each of the individual seats. So they've got 20% of the storage on each seat will be local content for the blockbusters that 80% of the people watch. The rest of it will be the stuff like Dremeling for you, or Japan Railway Journal for me, the stuff that a lot of people are still looking for, right? That kind of interesting content that is very much on a long tail of interest levels, right? This is so interesting, the stuff that they're doing. And they're also talking about doing something along the lines of using people's own devices as a sneaker net to get the stuff on the plane. So you break down each of the files into little tiny mini files, and you load one on so-and-so's phone and one on so-and-so's iPad on the way into the plane over Wi-Fi, and then it uploads it through the companion app, and you, the passenger, get miles in response.
That sounds good.
Mary, we have talked about the entire show. We have not talked about so much. There are the small companies here that make all of the immensely fabulous things.
And the materials folks, of course.
Of course. I mean, I talked to people who make those stickers for Frontiers Animal Jets mm-hmm. today. Really interesting little company. We've talked to so many people who make those specific piece of signature thermoplastics. The reading lights, the carpets, the fabrics, the curtains. There's a lot of interesting stuff going on in carpets and fabrics.
There's a lot of interesting stuff going on atop the plane too. Atop the fuselage, you're going to see new antennas, new radomes. It's quite fascinating.
Everyone's going to get the hump.
Or the wart. It depends on how you do it. I consider it a hump though.
Yes. Well, we are hashtag hump spotters ourselves.
We are hump spotters.
But that is it. Thank you, Mary. It's been a blast.
Oh, likewise, John. Thank you so much.
That's it for today's conversation. We certainly hope you enjoyed it, and we're always keen to find out what you think. Please feel free to email me at john@runwaygirlnetwork.com with any suggestions. Thanks to our guest, Mary Kirby. She's on Twitter @runwaygirl. As ever, you can find me on Twitter @thatjohn, and everything from RGN is @runwaygirlnetwork.com. If you're enjoying these conversations, please leave a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening.